Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Material Girl still going and going. Madonna's celebration tour kicks off in Canada in July and will travel to Europe. Now, there's no sign of an Irish date yet. Shea Byrne, presenter of Rise and Time on RT Radio 1, has been taking a look at the upcoming tour and also her back catalogue and who she is now. So, Shea, hello.
Hey, very welcome. Nice. Thanks for having me, Claire. It's lovely. This is a lovely studio. Very nice compared to mine.
I'm glad you like it. You can borrow it anytime. The tour then. I mean, do you know what? Just listening to that clip of Material Girl, and I was saying to you as it was playing, Madonna is not that Madonna anymore.
No, and you've hit a point immediately there, and that's the reason why she's still successful. She's not trading on nostalgia. Mm-hmm. It's part of her back catalogue, certainly, and she will hit those in her new tour, and she said she will. She'll sing as many songs as the fans want her to sing, but she's constantly reinventing herself. So she has changed so many times through the years. I was trying to count how many different changes there were. I got to about 14, and then there were subsets of those as well.
So this is not a nostalgia tour. This is a reinvention.
It's a mixture. Her last incarnation was Madame X, and there'll be elements of that, but she has probably a new incarnation for us as well. That constant reinvention. So you have people who are coming in who haven't released a successful album in years and will sell at a stadium because they're a big act. I mean, the Eagles are a great example. Can you remember an Eagles hit from the last 20 years?
No.
So there are one or two that did reasonably well at the charts.
Can't remember a Madonna hit really from the last while.
Well, Ray of Light, if you think, not in the last 10 years particularly, but yeah. If you're a Madonna fan, because she went to more of the dance charts as well. So she released dance music. She had collaborations with DJs. You remember the Ali G, Ray of Light. she did American Pie. I mean, they were quite significant. And she's doing those 25, 30 years later. Mm-hmm. She's still releasing albums and completely different.
But the tour is being billed as a celebration of a 40-year career. So we will expect, you're going, to
absolutely
hear some of the older stuff, right?
Well, if you're going, you're very lucky. 600,000 tickets, 36 dates, completely sold out. In fact, before the tickets went on sale, there was controversy in the UK because there's no Irish dates. There's a UK date that those tickets were on sale before they were sold for €3,500. On websites. So people expecting to get them were selling them for €3,500.
When did she last tour?
Her last tour was in 2019, 2020, and she did smaller venues. She did 12 shows at the 2,000-seater London Palladium, about the size of the Bord Gáis. So she did those shows, and they were expensive. Tickets were really hard to get, but she did 12 of those shows, and she did similar things in New York, Los Angeles, and more. She hadn't done the massive arena stadiums for a few years, but she's coming back to do that. She is training dancers. She is working hard on it.
Now, let's go to the big question. Is she the Queen of Pop?
Was she the Queen of Pop? Is she the Queen of Pop? Who's the new Queen of Pop? Are we the wrong people to find out who the... I know you're only in your 30s, but like I'm 50. So am
20s.
I the...
20s. Is Taylor Swift not the Queen of Pop?
That's what I would have thought.
That's what I would have thought.
And then, you know, possibly people say Ariana Grande. It depends. And it depends geographically where you are as well. Like the Queen of Country Music is Philomena Begley in this country, mm-hmm. but not necessarily in the United States. So we'd have different, the Queen of Pop as well. I mean, Queen certainly, because she's not the princess anymore. She's now the Queen. She's the mature. But she certainly is somebody who's an icon and somebody who pioneered ways of doing business. She was never going to be messed around. She was, when she came to New York originally, because she's not from New York, there's a kind of common conception, misconception that she might be from Brooklyn or the Bronx, but she's not. She's a Michigan girl. She's from Detroit. She's from Motown, essentially, from the motor town, from near Pontiac, actually, is where she's from. But there's her father was an engineer in General Motors. Like, she didn't live on the streets. Now, when she came to New York, she did have a hard time. She did have a hard time, and she learned to be tough. But what she's done, and she's always done, is she's controlled her own music. She's controlled her own image, and she has kept her publishing. So she owns all of her own music as well. Smart woman and tough, but talented enough to be able to do that.
And the reinvention, which you touched on earlier, I mean, she went through so many reinventions. As you said, it's nearly impossible to remember all of them, but very, very smart stuff again. Keeping people interested.
Yeah, I mean,
keeping people guessing.
She released her first piece of music in 1978. And it wasn't a hit for a number of years after that. But like, when NME, I looked up NME and they said, I was trying to figure out, because I was talking to people around and people were saying, oh, you remember, I was talking to Des Cahill.
Is he a Madonna fan?
He's a Madonna fan. We were talking about music this morning, about Madonna
Nothing
music
would
this morning.
Me about Des Cal.
No, and he remembers the one, the leg warmers and the rah rah skirt and the thing in the hair. But that's eighties, isn't it?
That's 80s Madonna.
That's early 80s. But Material Girl. Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, Marilyn Monroe. Look, pop art icon, again, Marilyn Monroe. That's a True Blue. The Penitent Catholic is the other one that they said. That's the Like a Virgin, Like a Prayer. That's religious iconography as well. But people forget how controversial that was at the time. I mean, the Pope took time out to denounce that video. Like, so, big strap energy Madonna, they call it, pettibone lyrics like, my name is Dita, I'll be your mistress tonight, I'd like to put you in a trance if I take you from somewhere else. That's the Erotica was the other album there as well.
Yeah,
so.
But she really, well, like, once she was famous, once she was a huge star, then she moved into I'm Really Gonna Shock You Now.
Mystic Madge, that was the one that appeared at Glastonbury. Red Dead Redemption meets Campy Cowboy, that was the Ray of Light. And then the disco Madonna, Saturday Night Fever kind of feel. And the last incarnation was Madam X, which was this, she had a whole character for Madam X, based her on an American socialite called Virginie Amélie Avengo-Gertrude. And she said that she had the thoroughly impressed as men fell at her feet. So, you know, that kind of feel.
I don't know. Are we going into Garth Brooks when he became somebody else there for a while? Do you know? I mean, it doesn't work.
Chris
really.
Gaines. Yeah.
Yeah, gosh.
You're comparing Madonna. Now, much as I love Garth and I'm very close to Garth and I got to meet him and everything. No, there's no comparison. What's wrong with you?
The reinvention thing, you know, into characters that nobody really cares about. Give me a break.
Well, it was like Stephen King when he wrote the Bachman books. He
That's
wrote Richard
right.
Bachman. He became Richard Bachman. He sold 20,000 copies. And when they said it was by Stephen King, he sold 3 million copies.
There you
I think
go.
That's a bit like her acting
Point
career.
Proven.
Her acting career. Would she really have been in those movies if she had auditioned? I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber thought she was a great Eva Perón because of her own character. But I don't think she was probably the best Eva Perón that was out there.
Let's go back and listen to some more of those early 80s hits. Let's listen to Holiday.
Ah, her first big hit.
I was going to a Madonna gig now, I'd want to hear that. Want to hear that stuff?
That's because you're that
That's
era.
That age.
You're that era, Madonna, the 20-year-olds.
True Blue was one of the first albums that we had, you know, the children in my house had. And I just remember studying that cover over and over. That and Hits 5.
Hits 5! Now you're dating yourself. I remember having Now 4.
Listen, I could go on. Money's Too Tight to Mention. Lionel Richie Dancing on the Ceiling.
You see, that song, when that song plays, and I that's a Friday song for me. On Rising Time, like that'd be from 6:45 at 7 o'clock, that song would appear
Which
there.
Which one?
Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Holiday, True
oh, yes.
Blue, Papa Don't Preach, Material Girl. All of those songs, when the opening riffs come in, people smile. I've seen it and people go, I'm dancing in the kitchen, I'm in the car and I'm bopping around, I'm in good
happy.
Form. And they want to hear more of it, definitely. And that makes people happy. And even, I was polling the kids last night, they're 14, 17 and 19 now. And they have a fair smattering of the classics
Do
as
they?
Well. They don't have the later stuff, as you say. And you have to remember, she was is a massive star in the United States. She isn't quite as big a star now in Europe as she was in the United
States. And of course,
States.
She had her own dance craze long before TikTok existed with this one.
Is it just
hand at the side of
just
your head?
Just if anybody's listening in Leash and they have pictures of Claire in the... What was the name of the disco?
I don't think so.
What was the name of the disco?
Never you're, do those things in public.
You were voguing.
You spoke about the acting career as well. I think we have... This is the song that people will remember from Eva Perón and Evita in 96?
96. And she was... she was an unusual choice for it as well. But it comes to this casting a superstar and making the film controversial. If she wasn't cast in that, would we have talked about the film if it was somebody from the Broadway or the West End, a fabulous actress that they're out there, actresses that are out there, would it have been so controversial? Would we still be talking about it today?
I don't know.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. truth is, I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance.
Is the voice holding up, do you think? I mean, that's a really good example of when her voice was really, really good.
But also, that's a studio recording. Mm-hmm. I mean, you cannot compare a studio recording, particularly in modern times, with tuning and layering and overdubbing to a live voice. I mean, and live voices now have the ability to be overdubbed and tuned as well. So they, your own voice will be multiplied a number of times in microseconds to fill it out in
so
an arena.
Sound, it'll sound
so
great.
It'll sound good. You know, I played, it's funny because I played Lee Majors, who played Cole Seavers in The Fall Guy, the unknown stuntman. Because I'm the unknown stuntman. Man, and the text line went bananas because people remembered so well. He was so out of tune, but nowadays he wouldn't be out of
tune.
He would be absolutely auto-tuned within a hilt of his life.
This biopic that was supposed to be coming, we all heard about this, where she was putting the dancers through their paces. She was sitting in on the auditions, wasn't she? And they were going on for like 11 hours and months and months and months. All dropped. Why?
Well, because of this tour, because of this celebration tour. I mean, she put them through hell. Mm. And had cast, I think, although it hadn't been announced, the casting had been done. Julia Garner, who was in Ozarks, she was going to be this play Madonna, and that's been scrapped now as well. And they turned down lots of offers. So there's possibly some legal issues around that
as well.
And it's been put on the back burner. But I suspect there's always something else with Madonna. There's a reason that that film didn't go ahead. It's not because of a world tour.
So you've all the people involved in that who are annoyed with her. All of the actresses who didn't get the role of Eva Perón back in 1996, they're annoyed with her as well. So we have gangs of people who'll be at those gigs going,
"Rrr." But these actors went to 11-hour boot camps.
I know, tough going. But she had the ultimate call. Now I'm going to play Ray of Light because you've mentioned it so many times. I don't really like this.
What?
I listen to it again and I make up my mind.
You're not the right person to do this.
No, I don't like it. I never really liked it. And recently, Britney Spears did that collaboration with Elton John, and I don't know why that's in my head as well. It's like, get somebody out of retirement, do them a favour and put all of that, you know, techie stuff over it to disguise whatever else is going
on. She joined up with William Orbit, who's a big dance producer, and returned to the kind of club thing. You see,
I think
about Madonna, she's a dancer at you what?
I don't care.
You don't care?
No, I just don't think it's good enough for Madonna. I just don't think.
But that introduced her to a whole new audience and brought her through. And the video again for Ray of Light with Ali G, etc. Those things were huge, and that was part of her metamorphosizing again into something else and being something for somebody, a new generation. So definitely, she wouldn't have been on Top of the Pops without that. They weren't going to rehash Holiday.
I just prefer that. I just prefer the vibe and the originality of the earlier stuff.
Yeah.
And then you get to that, which I just think is a standard cookie cutter tech beat with Madonna singing over it.
Yeah, and I would agree. And certainly her reputation would sell that as well, that it's Madonna. And as with this tour and as with Madame X and as with the albums, people will always buy a Madonna album because it's Madonna. Why not?
This is your favourite, I think.
Oh,
isn't
I love
it?
This. It had an orchestral intro. It had Danny Aiello in the video, who's kind of everybody's idea of an Italian-American father, who actually played Cher's father in a couple of films as well. It has a great story. I love a story song. And the guy sent me in a joke this morning. He said, "Dad, I'm obsessed. My father says I'm obsessed with Madonna." I said, "Papa, don't preach."
Love it. Does that go down well now in Rising Time, that one?
"Papa, don't preach." Fabulous. Well, see, there's an intro to that, which is the orchestra. So the producer of that piece of music said, a bit like the Beatles with George Martin, let's put an orchestra on it. And it just lifts it. It lifts. If you hear the demo tape of that, which you can find on YouTube, but you hear that with the orchestra, it's exceptional. Mm-hmm. I love that piece of music. And again, it's one of those, you know, you're looking for the intro that's going to go, "Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing that." And that's "Papa Don't Preach."
Right, I have to go and deal with my family now for exposing our record collection in 1985 in the Byrne household. Shay, thanks very much for that.
It's all good to see you.
The Gathering is next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.